started meditating in 1975. I've done a lot of sittings, and almost every time that I meditate, when the sitting is about to come to an end, there's a voice that arises in my mind. Ah, you really screwed that one up. Oh, you really mad? You didn't feel one breath. Who are you kidding, right? That's my past karma, right? So I see that, and I cultivate an appreciation for my goodness as it's been expressed in the effort that I've made in the meditation. So it's a really, really good practice. It's a really good practice. One thing, you can see that movement in the mind, and everybody's movement in the mind is going to be a little different, but the movement in my mind is probably somewhat similar to some of yours, maybe 96%. So you see that, and then you have a chance to change your karma, right? You have a chance to change your karma. And again, you know, when we're recognizing our goodness as it's expressed in our effort, we're coming to the understanding that our goodness is the effort that we make, right? It is expressed in the effort that we make. It's not the results. We're very results oriented, right? But the effort that you make to sit down and to close your eyes or not and to meditate is you know, I mean, there's very few things that you're going to do in your life that are going to have that much profound impact on your life and the life of others. Just that effort that you're making, you know? But we don't kind of see it that way necessarily, particularly if we don't feel one breath. So it's a very, very useful practice to, you know, and I kind of do that pretty much at the end of every meditation. Is that's a good way to end, is to reflect on the effort that you've made in that sitting, the determination that you've shown. So what we're going to do is I'll take a few questions, just a few, and then I'm going to say a little bit about the practice that we can do during lunch, because lunch is really a practice period. So it's kind of a practice in daily life period. So, but first, maybe just a few questions. If anybody has any questions about what I've talked about this morning or what's come up in your experience, yeah. Right. Well, your blessing, I mean, we're kind of categorizing our goodness as a blessing, just to kind of clarify that. So, you know, the effort that we make is a blessing. You know, our effort is our goodness, and it's a blessing that we've been bestowed with this goodness as human beings. So just to kind of clarify that. But I think the point is an important one in terms of the judgment. Is that clear, what I just said? Yeah. So good. I was hoping somebody would ask that question. You know, I was like, I should have a whole section on resistance and the voices in the mind, but somebody will ask that question during this period. So that's part of the process. You know, as you're seeking, you know, the first part of the process is, you know, you make an effort to cultivate the heart. You know, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make an effort to cultivate the heart. The next part is seeing the resistance to that, you know, and that's essential to the process, because there's going to be things that are in the way of the heart, you know? So that's good. The reason why you're experiencing that is because you're making an effort to do that, you know? So, you know, if you don't come here and make that effort, you're not going to notice that resistance to what's in the heart. So that's the right view. That's the right way to look at it. So it's like, oh, this is really interesting. You know, look at what's in the way of the heart and just observe that. You know, you don't really need to do much, but just observe it. And, you know, the heart will understand it. So, okay, there's that voice in the mind. There's that judgment in the mind, and just name it and just see it, you know? You don't really need to do too much, but just create that. What you want to do is go from, oh, you don't really have goodness, to, okay, there's judgment, okay? That's what you want to do. So that's your next step, is to kind of shift to being the observer and just seeing it. And one of the things that you do there is you begin to understand it in that space, but you also create a space where you can kind of get through to the heart also. So it's very much part of the process, but where people get messed up with it is like, oh, look at that resistance. Oh, this is terrible. I don't, you know, so it's like, and then it's got you. That's what it wants you to do. What it doesn't want you to do is say, oh, there's my resistance. That's what's in the way of the heart. You know, my teacher that I really learned heart practices from, Michelle McDonald, was great at describing this. Somebody would ask this question, and she'd go, that's wonderful. Oh, you're seeing your, this is fantastic. You know, I can't, she does it much better than I do. But so that's a, you know, that's a really important part of this practice. It's a really important part of the practice. And any hard practice is seeing the resistance. It's crucial. It's crucial. And to me, the fact, you know, like Michelle would say, the fact that you're seeing that means that you're making the effort. You're starting to open the heart, but you're just coming up against the obstacles. Other questions?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you know, and she said, you know, that she was able to recollect her goodness, and because we can all recollect, we can all remember. I mean, that's so everybody can do that. Second part is a little bit harder, feeling the gratitude, but a little bit easier. So it's a good transitional piece. Discerning the brightness in the heart is the most challenging part of it, right? So, and it can be really subtle, right? So, in part, what you want to be really careful about is getting frustrated, or even, you know, I'm having trouble. No, you're doing really good. You know, the trouble is when you don't come here today and practice. But it's you know, the heart is going to open when the heart opens, and you're going to be able to discern. But if you start adding on, you know, frustration or pushing too hard, you know, so it'll arise, you know, it'll arise. Again, you know, be careful about looking for something that's huge. It can be really, really subtle, you know. I mean, I always, you know, tell the story of being at the Metta Forest Monastery, you know, and it's like really hard and challenging, you know, and you're only eating one meal a day and stuff. And I was like, this sucks. This is terrible, you know? I was having a really hard time. So I was like, all right, I can see that. Brighten the mind. What a blessing it is to be here. Well, you know, how grateful I am that I'm making this effort, you know? I was just like not feeling anything, you know? But I just kept doing that and I kept doing that. And then finally, after about a week or so, I was like, the joy just, you know, but you're planting those seeds. You're planting those seeds, you know, and gradually you'll begin to perceive it. You know, a little trick, if you will. Thai teachers use that term sometimes. Little tricks, and some people have heard me say this many times. But when you kind of bring your attention into that area, were you feeling anything, or? Yeah. You don't want to push it too hard, but sometimes what happens is, you know, but again, that sounds good, but you know, again, you can't, but sometimes you'll just like notice a little something. It's very, very subtle. So, you know, you can just use that perception. Okay, there's joy, and just kind of label it. The mind might go, well, that really isn't joy. I just have, you know, a little heartburn, you know? So the right attitude is what? Good enough, right? Am I really feeling joy? Well, I'm feeling a little something. Maybe it's just the way my shirt is rubbing against, no. It's like, well, I'm just a little warm. Maybe they should, no. All right, that's joy. Ah, good enough. You see what I'm saying? So just kind of have that attitude of just like, good enough. Am I feeling anything? Well, maybe I am. Okay, good enough. Because the mind is going, well, that can't really be it. You know, that kind of a thing. So really just try to have that attitude of good enough, good enough.
It's more feeling, it's not visualizing.
The visualization only helps you get to the feeling, you know? You're using the head to connect to the heart. So the visualization is helping you get a felt sense. It's very subtle, right? It's an art. You know, classical metaphor that the Buddha used, which is kind of perhaps inelegant, particularly since we're talking about non-harming, is like, you know, hunters in a blind, you know, waiting for the deer to shoot, you know, you have to hide behind the, you know, the trees or whatever, and you have to, like, you know, be really quiet, you know, because otherwise, you know, the deer is going to hear you there, you know, but you have to pay really close attention, you know, because that moment when it just might have just one moment when it's there, but you have to be really super quiet. So you're just kind of like waiting, but very attentively, and you don't know when it's going to arise. But the big thing is be careful of the frustration about it, and you sort of adopt that. I've always been good at that for some reason. Am I really feeling? Yeah, good enough. You know, so you sort of give it the benefit of the doubt, and gradually, because that sort of counteracts that movement in the mind of like, I'm not feeling anything, this isn't good enough. But that's the third stage. So what I'm most concerned with in the practice is that first stage of like the recollection, you know? So one thing that can help with also is when you're doing the recollection, when you're, you know, like, all right, I was generous, I visited my friend in the hospital, that kind of a thing, really pay attention to the voice that you're using. Really try to say it really earnestly. Not like, yeah, you know, I went to the hospital, yeah, I was generous, you know. It's like really try to say it with a sense of earnestness, you know, and know what you mean by those words of generosity and giving, you know. Yeah, Jacques.
I guess it's the way my resistance manifested, but I was thinking of generosity and examples of generosity, and then just suddenly a giant counterexample sort of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just very clumsy generosity.
Right.
And just like completely swept away by that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that's another good in terms of working with resistance. So everybody hear what he said? Like the resistance came up really strongly. So generally what I would do at that point is just go back to the breath, you know, and find your center and ground and, you know, just try to put that resistance to the side and, you know, just kind of go back to the breath. And then if you want to go back to the reflection or another element, try to do that. If not, don't try to push through it. I mean, the other thing that you can do is investigate, you know, what's coming up, you know? That's why, you know, when Michelle teaches this, she teaches metta mostly, but metta vipassana. So, you know, I mean, I've done metta retreats where half the retreat was investigating my resistance. So you also could investigate the resistance, but, you know, a lot of times, you know, if you're doing this at the beginning of the meditation, you don't really have the concentration to do that. So you just want to try to put that voice to the side by going, that's why I said use the breath as you know, home base to go back to and just put it to the side. But, you know, those things that are arising out of resistance are really deeply karmic. That's why I said, you know, how long it's been happening for me. So at some point, you got to look at that. You know, it just might not be in that moment when you're doing that, but that might be an opportunity to look at it. But certainly, even if you're going to look at it, first thing you should do is go back to the breath. And then you can just switch and reflect on something else, you know, if a lot of resistance is coming up in relation to a specific thing. We could talk about that for the next 10 years. You know, I mean, that's all part of developing meditation technique. Like, what do you do when pain comes up? What do you do when emotional stuff comes up? So, you know, that, what you really, you know, because it's too long to go into what to do. I mean, generally what you want to try to do at the beginning of the meditation is put it to the side if it's physical pain. If you can't, then move, you know, don't sit there and deal with it. You know, if you don't have enough concentration, you don't want it, you'll just be dwelling in it. So try to put it to the side if you're uncomfortable. If it's too uncomfortable, move. Stand up. If you were brutally uncomfortable, you could leave the room, you know, but you don't want to be sitting there dwelling in it. But that's part of the art of the skill of the meditation, is learning how to work with those qualities. You know, it's like, you know, my experience when I first started practicing, I don't know how long you've been practicing, was just like yours. And, you know, it was really, really super challenging. Now the same things happen, but I know what to do, you know. So it's more about developing your skill than anything else. You know, the first thing you want to do with uncomfort is try to put it to the side and be very one pointed. You know, the way that meditation tends to get taught in the West is go to it, go to it. Sound, go to it. Sense, don't do, I suggest not doing that. Learn to be able to focus on one point and keep your attention there, because there's too much stuff. What are you going to do when you go out on the street? You're going to be going all over the place. Learn to try to develop one-pointedness and strength of mind so that you can keep your mind there, right? So I would suggest not going to it, you know. If you can keep your mind on the breath, do that. Say, okay, there's aversion to it, but don't go to it. And otherwise, put it to the side. Try to focus on someplace in the body that feels good. But again, there's a lot that goes into that question. You know, going back to Jacques, too, and this also relates to what you were saying, you know, one thing I would probably do if when I went back to the breath, you know, we're cultivating appreciation, but when you go back to the breath, if something is really coming up strongly, you know, and if you're suffering with pain in the body, shift to compassion, right? So let me have compassion for myself for this painful thing that's come up, okay? You know, and it's a little bit, it's not quite the same thing as like what you were talking about, but I mean, I was thinking about this, you know, it's like I'm saying, you know, have joy, take joy. And like, I'm thinking like probably half these people are like, what is he talking about? This is miserable. You know, everything aches, you know? So sometimes that, you know, it's like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. You just need to have compassion for yourself because it's a struggle, you know? Yeah, take a couple more, yeah. It depends on it's a level of karmic benefit. You know, if part of what you're giving is influenced by self, you know, is getting something for yourself, it's not as karmically pure and as powerful as if it was more selfless, but it still has benefit. The Buddha said if you had a cup of water and you know, you just like, you drank some of it but you didn't want the rest, and you just threw the water on the street and a dog went over there and lapped it up, that would be considered an act of generosity, you know? So, you know, there's all levels of generosity. You want to try to purify your generosity, you know, but that, you know, and so it's really good that you're seeing that, but not to judge it and have the intention to try to purify it as you're going forward, but understand that it's still an expression of your goodness. It's just like your goodness, you know, you're working to purify and develop your goodness. So it's still very much worthy of reflection. I was reflecting on times I threw a cup of water and the cat came over and licked it. No, you know, but so it's still, you know, that's parami. You're still developing parami, but you know, you're going to work to kind of deepen it and strengthen it. You know, so that's all part of you know, so there's levels of generosity and things to reflect on that. You know, will really bring even more brightness to the mind. So if you reflect on that, you know, it's going to be help you bring brightness to the mind, but maybe not as much as if it was pure. You see what I'm saying? And I'm glad you asked that question, because I think, you know, it wasn't 100% pure, so we discount it, right? Because that's kind of how we are, right? But it was still really good. It just, you could do a little better maybe. You know, but it's still really, really good, you know, and that's what we're really focusing on. This is really, really good. And once you start to see the benefits, because that's how you get better, right? Is like you see how it brightens the mind when you give and you say, damn, this is good stuff. I'm even going to try to be even more pure in my generosity, you see? So be careful about like that judgment, you know, of the lack of purity of it. You know, there's always going to be some impurities in it, probably, but you're trying to make it more pure. So understanding the teaching and understanding, like, you know, the Buddha said, there's certain gifts that bear greater fruit. You know, so giving in certain ways are, you know, like, you know, the cup of water isn't going to bear as much fruit as, you know, giving to the monk, you know, but it's still going to bear some fruit. So you're going to learn about ways that you can deepen in your generosity so that you can brighten your mind, so that you can develop your concentration, so that you can develop more insight, so that you can be free, you know. So, lunch. If anybody does have more questions, well, there'll be more questions time later, and also you can come up for me afterwards. So, lunch is silent. We're going to maintain silence in this space, okay? In this space, we're silent, including the other rooms out there, to maintain silence. If you go out, I recommend maintaining silence. If you're going to use the phone, you know, I never used to have to talk about this 20 years ago when I started teaching. There were no phones. You know, you ask yourself, do I really need to make this call? Is this really going to support me in my efforts to do what I'm doing here today? It may. You know, it may be I need to call and check on my kid who's sick, and that's an act of generosity. You know, so, you know, that's discernment. You have to see that. But I would do your best to try to maintain silence, just to maintain the seamlessness so we can kind of deepen into this teaching. So when you're out there in the world, practice with the reflection. Practice with the reflections. So, you know, it just may be, you know, you're sitting here and you're eating your lunch and you just reflect for a moment. Wow, I came here today. You know, this is an expression of my goodness. Or you could, you know, try to find those opportune moments. And it's just touching in. You know, you're not, it's not meditating, right? It's just because you need to, this is where really a lot of your learning to brighten the mind is going to come in. You train yourself in the meditation. Today was a very extensive training piece that we did, but ultimately, it's just, you know, you learn to touch in to the heart. And I like this term touching in that the Buddha used is really good, because people think, well, I got to do the reflection when I'm walking down the street. No, you touch in. You know, you just touch in. You learn to touch in. So you can learn to touch into, you know, your generosity. You can remember it. You know, you're remembering. Or you can remember your virtue. Or you can remember, you know, your effort that you're making today or any other time. So you can just touch into that kind of reflection. There may be opportune moments. So you may do something generous at lunch. So then, you know, reflect on that. You know, being silent at lunch is a reflection of your goodness. So you could reflect on that. So there may be times when you actually do something that's generous or virtuous, or is, you know, being here is an example of that. So that's, you know, in the moment. So it could be just a general reflection, or as it relates to the specific moment that you're in. Also, you can work with some of the other reflections. So you can take the handout, and it lists the other reflections, which we'll work on this afternoon. So other beings. So you could reflect on the goodness of your partner who's watching your kids while you're here today, you know, or, you know, the goodness of your kids who are, you know, allowing you to come here today, or the goodness of your parents who maybe taught you values in your life that have enabled you to get here today and do this practice. Or you may see somebody on their street in the moment, or you may sit here while you're eating your lunch and reflect on the goodness of all these beings who've come here today. Okay, we'll work with this afternoon, but you can start to practice, because it really is, that's the end, or you're walking down the street, you know, and I mean, it's a little hard necessarily to see people's goodness, but sometimes you see people doing, even in New York, you know, beautiful, generous things, or acting in skillful ways. So, you know, instead of our usual, look at that schmuck, look at that idiot, ah, oh, what's he doing? It's like, start, you know, this is how you train the mind, right? It's really, that's, as my friend Harry used to say, God rest his soul, this is where the rubber meets the road, you know? When you're out there in the world, can you change the way that you're relating to the world, you know? Or reflect on the blessing of the Dharma. Wow, what a blessing that I'm able to hear these teachings. Again, we'll talk about that. Or what a blessing that these teachings are available to us. And again, we'll work with these more specifically. Or just the reflection on the blessing of life. You know? It's like, what a blessing it is to be alive today as you're walking down the street, or just as you sit here and reflect. you know, in, if you're in this room. So, you know, you find those moments. It's not like you're doing it all the time. The Buddha said, you know, doing these reflections is really good, but if you do it too much, your mind gets tired, and then you start going into, you know, so it's like, oh, look at the generosity of that person who's helping that old person cross the road, and then it's like, maybe they're going to mug them. You know, it's like, so you just reflect and then you go back to the breath. I don't know, I just thought of that, you know. So you reflect and you go back to the breath. Classical reflection to brighten the mind on the goodness in the world is the reflection on nature. A little tricky here on 28th Street, but you know, you got the park over here. I always say, just at one tree, you know, or a pigeon, you know, you reflect on the blessing of life and of nature. The Buddha said that's the easiest way to, that's why you have meditation retreats with other people, because other people brighten our minds. That's why meditation is stronger when we meditate with others. You know, it's not like some psychic vibration. It's because the mind brightens because of all these beings who are here to support us in our efforts to practice. So the reflection on nature is another one, you know. So, you know, just any aspect of nature, you know, the Tibetans do the sky gazing. You know, you can look up at the sky if you're on a street with no green, you know. So practice touching in during the lunch period. And notice the resistance. I mean, I'm really glad that you guys brought up these questions about the resistance, because it's really important, you know. So really, in particular, watch the resistance that takes the form of, what the hell was that guy talking about today? Why is he bothering to teach this stuff to, no, I'm just kidding. So sort of, but not really, right? You know, so it's like, wow, I could have done something else. So have a great, great lunch. We're gonna come back at 2:00, okay? So you got almost an hour and a half, so that's something to be grateful for, right? And you can be grateful for the food that you have, that your basic needs are met in terms of being able to provide food, clothing, and shelter for yourself.